finally got here. The title is God's Kind of Love. Did you hear that?
That's fine.
God's Kind of Love. I had several titles which I crossed out. So it's God's Kind of Love. But the word that's really stuck out to me in the last maybe couple of weeks through prophetic words we've had and different things is the word wholehearted. And I just think it kind of sums up God's love, but also he's calling us to love him in a wholehearted way. So I'm just going to explore that a little bit. And I was just looking back over a few things. I was thinking about Akin's talk, which was, I just thought was so, there was so much in it. I don't know how it impacted you, but maybe you could have a think what you remember from his talk that really stood out to you. Even write it in the chat, maybe. Might be good. Or speak it out.
Consecration.
Consecration, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot about being separate to God, wasn't there? And forsaking all others, being the bride, being who we are in Christ. I think sometimes we don't realize who we are in Christ. Yes. Ever. Thanks. Identity. Yeah. Knowing our true identity in him. And a lot, his talk, along with Adrian's dream, I felt gave us quite a good roadmap of life, didn't it? You either go one way or you go the other way and the consequences of that. But I think when we go the right way, there's so much more, isn't there, that we could be experiencing. And I think God's wholehearted love and us loving him wholeheartedly is a journey, isn't it, of walking into that. I was just looking back on some of the prophetic words. There was a lot mentioned about the call to love God wholeheartedly with our heart, soul and mind. And there was a sense that God wants us to walk in more freedom as individuals and freedom from strongholds that might have been with us a long time. And these things may, you know, stop us experiencing God and God's love fully, because sometimes they get in the way, don't they, of us really knowing God. So there's a lot of words we had about God wants to bring freedom so we can be all that he wants us to be in him. There was Psalm 51, creating me a clean heart. It's a lot about cleansing and refining as we yield to him more. A lot about God preparing his bride. Healing is coming and restoration. Keeping your heart and mind stayed on me. And he's calling us to seek him, call on him and pursue him. So that, I think there's a lot in there. I think there's, you know, God wants to heal our hearts as we look to him and as we pursue him. I think there's a healing, isn't there, that he's wanting to do, and a greater freedom so that we can enjoy that relationship even more. And I wonder if during this time of lockdown, you know, there's a lot of healing God wants to do even within the church as well. A lot of words about that, aren't there? What God is doing within the church. And restoration and revival in the church as well. And on, I don't know if anyone else listens to the British Council of Prophets on Facebook, but they do a couple of sessions a week, and they, this week, which kind of confirmed to me what I was talking about, they really felt that God was saying he was warring over our intimacy with him. He's not warring over our knowledge or what we know, you know, the truth, but he's warring over our connection with him, our intimacy with him. It's so, so important at the moment. And God really wants us to experience his love. So not just knowing it in theory, but, you know, really knowing that heart connection. So that was encouraging too. Just a few things. Well, hopefully at the end, we could I'm hoping we can do a little encounter, though I won't be going into great biblical study, but I'm just leading up to that point where we can do an encounter with God and hopefully walk into a little bit more freedom. So the other thing that encouraged me in this area was, again, reading Mike Bickle's book, which is quite an inspiration. I know a few of you have been reading it as well. But I'll just read a little bit. Sorry, I'm coming too early with that. what was I going to say? In the coffee morning, we were looking at a chapter from that book, and it was talking about focusing on the Lord's Prayer and using that as a structure, a guide for prayer. But it was quite interesting. We got to Our Father, and we kind of got stuck there in a good way, because it was, again, that point of intimacy, so important, Our Father. But also issues that were raised were, you know, we struggle because of our views, maybe experiences of our earthly fathers. But again, it's that tension between coming close to God and maybe things that hold us back from that. So, but I think God has really wanted to get to grips with some of these things. It feels like that's what he's saying. So that we don't have so many barriers, you know, stopping us from experiencing his love. So just a little light note, remember the love languages? Well, they're called love languages. I put them on the WhatsApp. I don't know if you recognised yourself in any of those. If I read them out again, I don't know if you saw them. It's just to show, in the human terms, even if we're in a loving, caring relationship or friendship, sometimes we still get it wrong, don't we? We don't always understand how to show love to each other. So there were so many challenges around this issue, but this was just a lighthearted thing to show you some of the challenges. I just couldn't find it on there. So apparently we, each of us have a main love language, and it might be affirming words, quality time, physical contact, act of service, or being given a special gift. So does anyone put their hand up if they see themselves in one of those? Are you brave enough to say? Or
I'm very brave. I want to put two of them together. The one of spending time with people and hugging, can't separate them.
Wow, that makes the situation even harder, Judy. Yeah. Anyone else brave enough to share?
I don't know if we're muted. Are we muted?
No.
Are
you?
So it's on my phone, so it's all different. So I'm just not sure. Carry on. Did you want to say?
My immediate thought was the top three were the important ones. The affirming words spoken or written down. I think that if you're in, as we are, in a loving marriage relationship, getting affirming words from each other and to each other is important. Quality time spent with someone you value, very important, and physical contact, a reassuring hug. And so I thought those three are important to me. And then I thought someone carrying out a job for you or helping out with someone, and I thought, is that as important? Then I thought it is, because it's a way of someone showing their love for you. And I had in mind our two sons-in-law who will help out if we... Steve's the more practical one, and Ryan on the sort of technicalities, technical side and that sort of thing. But they're willing to show their love for us just by helping out. Whenever we ask them to do something, there's no hesitation. They come and they'll help out. And that's I think their way of, or one of their ways of showing their love. And then I thought about getting a present or something like that, and I thought, well, I'm not too bothered about getting presents. But then I thought, well, it's really important. If someone feels they want to get you a present, it's nice to receive a present, isn't it? And think that the person has thought about you. And it's another way of someone showing their love for someone else. So, well, I think all five of the points you made, Suzanne, are very important.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't come up with them myself, but there is a book about them. You can read a lot more, but there's usually one main one that really blesses you out of the five. I think for me, is that Winston?
Yeah, the main one for me is quality time. I do agree with John that the first three are really, really important. Difficult to separate, but quality time with someone I value is probably the best one for me. I really have an aversion to number five, not because I don't like having gifts, but if you're going to give me something instead of talking to me about an issue or sorting an issue out, don't bother. Because that's avoidance.
I think the whole thing of quality time is probably, well, certainly high on my agenda, because there's nothing in a way to, well, I don't think, for me, to replace that, because when you connect with people in a real way, it leads to so much more. It leads to a solid relationship. It leads to honesty. It leads to just enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree. I agree with that about the spending time, quality time.
Yeah. I think also it depends on who the person is. For example, for me, for myself, like when I spend quality time with someone that I don't know that well, I appreciate it. But for example, with people that are very close with me, hugs would be my language of love. But then I don't like to be hugged by someone that I don't know or I'm not close with.
Yeah.
I guess it all really depends on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Sounds a good point.
I think what that raises, I mean, the more we talk about this, the deeper we'll go and we'll unravel all sorts of things, I'm sure. What buzzes through my mind is picking up on what John was saying. All these five matter at different times.
Yeah.
But it does matter, as Ava says, who the person is.
Yeah.
Who it is. And also without... This is my last comment. It all depends how you are defining love. What do you mean when you say love? Because the love I have for my wife is different to the love I have for my children. And it's different to the love I have for my wider family and for my friends. It gets to the stage where I get to this point where I know as a Christian I'm supposed to love everybody. But when I think of all the people I have links with, for me to be able to say I love them, I'm not quite sure what I mean by that. I might like them a lot and think a lot about them, but I don't know that I love them, certainly not in the same way as I love my family. And the other thing is what you mean by quality time. I can spend time with people, including my family, but sometimes even my own children. And sometimes it doesn't feel like quality. I don't know why, but other times it does. Perhaps because someone was in a mood or somebody wasn't wanting to communicate. So what do you mean by quality time? Is that quality to me or quality to them?
Oh my gosh, we could, we've
still
a whole other session on this.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Having read the book, Phil, it explains all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, yeah.
I think we have read the book.
Yeah, I think with love languages, you have to look at them in terms of what makes you feel loved. So do you feel loved when people spend time with you or when they give you affirming words or if they give you a present? And different people have different ways of feeling loved. And if we can understand how other people feel loved, then we have to work at presenting ourselves in the language that they understand.
Thank you. Thank you. Didn't realise you knew. It's good. We have questions, we'll come to you.
That's why he's
lucky. Yes, it was.
Just to say, mine is affirming words. So it's interesting because I love prophetic things, and it's a lot about what God's saying, isn't it? And also, I love when people write something in a card. You know, that's almost like a huge treasure if they've said something nice. Interesting. Just to let you know.
it's noted, Suzanne.
Well, I'll make next year's Christmas card more interesting.
If you can say something nice about me, that'd be even better.
So if you want an affirming word, Suzanne, can I say that I fully appreciate all that you are going to say this morning, even though I've not heard it all yet.
Oh, right. My friend for life. Okay, well, that was just a way of showing that even in loving relationships, we can still misunderstand each other. You know, we can still get it wrong. We think we've done something good and it might not bless that person. Yeah. So Winston was saying we might have given her a lovely present, but she's just like, what? It's not good enough. It's not enough. It's not right. Anyway, so that's with us humans. Thankfully, God speaks in all languages. That's the good thing. And actually, I sort of sometimes I think, do I see God's love? But I often feel God shows his love.
Me. I hope you didn't do the
speech. No. Okay. By an encouragement that comes through another person. And I think, wow, yeah, that really does bless me. So maybe sometimes we don't see, you know, how God shows, maybe recognize how God shows his love, you know, specifically for us. Maybe worth looking out for that. So anyway, but God's love obviously is so much better than any human love. I've got the words wholehearted and unconditional, two words that really stood out to me. Wholehearted means, in the dictionary, without doubts or reservations, done with all possible efforts, and unconditional, not subject to conditions or limitations, and it's absolute. Absolute means complete, perfect, unrestricted, independent, so it's not dependent on anything else, anything we've done or that kind of thing. So just a silly story about this wholehearted love, what you do. It's a bit of a silly one, really, but how you search for something that means something to you. I've been doing a puzzle and there's one piece missing. And my mum said to me, oh, don't worry, it'll turn up somewhere. But it's become such a thing to me that I want to finish this puzzle. It's almost become part of me because I've done it. So I've literally pulled out all the furniture, pulled out all the kitchen, looked everywhere. Still haven't found it, but I thought, I'm not, you know, I'm going to look everywhere to get this piece. Maybe that's a little bit what God's love is like. You know, he's not going to hang around. He's going to take action and do whatever he can to show us his love. So just got some biblical examples of different kinds of this love. We've got King David, who often showed this kind of wholehearted love to God. Winston, would you mind reading the verses? 1 Chronicles 29:9-18.
You're muted, Winston.
Thank you, sorry. It's 1 Chronicles 29, verses 9 to 18. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had freely given and heartily to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you.
Thank you. It's an example of a wholehearted prayer which was given in a public place. And we know that David was very wholehearted with his worship of God and didn't really worry about what other people thought. Another example that I thought of was the prodigal son's father and how he showed his love to his son, you know, even though he'd really done bad things. Sorry, Judy. Thank you, Judy.
Luke 15, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, there are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back to my father's house and I'll say to him, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar. And great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son, who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms. He hugged him dearly, and he kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. The father interrupted and said, Son, you're home now. Turning to his servants, the father said, Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. Bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy.
Thank you, Judy. Just think, it's an amazing expression, isn't it, of a father's love. And obviously it's the echoes of God's love, unconditional love. I mean, the son had basically almost said to his father, you're dead to me, taken his money, squandered the money. But the father was ready to meet him on the way back. I heard someone talk about it and they said, I mean, obviously he picked up all of his robes, which is very un-Jewish. Was it un-Jewish? And he hugged, kissed him, kissed his neck is what apparently the translation means. So a very amazing response to his son who'd, you know, gone off track so badly. But just an example in the Bible of sort of the unconditional love and wholehearted love. So, I mean, the other one obviously is the main one, which is Jesus. I just read this verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And as we know, I mean, God didn't have to send his Son. They were the Trinity, probably quite happy as they were, but through his creation of us and need to save us, that just shows an amazing love. All the pain he suffered, dying to himself, and you know, the pain of that love, but he did it unconditionally. So this is, these are just some examples of his amazing love. And just the last thing, I was just going to read a little part from what the Trinity has between them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and what that those kind of relationships might be like. So God is love. His very being is wholehearted love. 1 John 4:16. In other words, the essence of how God thinks and feels flows from his heart of unwavering, passionate, intimate, wholehearted love. There is a perpetual volcanic explosion of intense love amongst the three persons of the Trinity. From eternity past, the Father has loved the Son with all his heart, mind, and strength. And Jesus has loved the Father and the Spirit with the same intensity. Each person of the Trinity loves the other two persons with deep, powerful, eternal love. We were created to receive and express the measure of the all-consuming love that dwells in God's heart and is the crux of the kingdom of God. This is foundational to what it means to walk in the kingdom of God. The Father, Son, and Spirit are each fully satisfied in the fellowship of the Trinity, but the Father, Son, and Spirit are each fully satisfied in the fellowship of the Trinity, but the joy of love compelled the triune God to create beings who could share their love. Love demands expression, thus it must be shared and multiplied. God wanted others to experience the joy of the Trinity's perfect love. So I hope that's given you a good flavour of God's love. And because of his love, only because of his love, we can love him, we can love each other. And that's, I think that's everything. Okay. So just to the end, I hope this is okay, a little bit of an encounter if you're up for it. This is where the paper and pen come in handy. You can do it in your mind if you want, but it might be helpful for you to write some things down. So it's basically what it is. I don't know if anyone's had a sozo before. I hope that title doesn't put you off, but it's a very simple three steps of a healing that you can is used in something like a sozo, might be used in RTF, restoring the foundations as well in a different structure. So it's basically, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to bring anything, as Graham was saying earlier, to God. And I'm going to give you three sections, and basically to help, you know, get rid of things that just get in the way of us fully receiving God's wholehearted love and unconditional love. Is that okay? Put thumbs up. Okay, so get yourself comfortable and relaxed, and I'm trusting that God is going to speak to you, as he usually does. So the first one, just ask God to show you if there is anyone or anything or any group that maybe in the past didn't love you in the way they should have done or could have done, and it caused you some pain. So maybe just ask God to show you if there is anyone or anything that comes into that category. Okay. And if there is somebody or something that's come to mind, could you just speak forgiveness in your heart to them and say, I forgive you for this or for that or whatever it might be, if you can. And if you want to write this down, good to remember. Okay, you need a bit longer. Okay. And then the second part, just to ask God, is there a lie that I have believed linked to this issue? See if anything comes to mind. And then when you're ready, if you can, just say, I renounce this lie and I send it to the cross. So you can say, I renounce the lie that, whatever it is, and then send it to the cross. Okay, ready to move on? This is the good bit. So the last bit is just ask God what he would like to give you now in place of that. Ask him to show you what he wants to give you now and just be open, maybe open your hands to receive, whether it's a picture or a word. Just see what God wants to give you now in place of all of that we've just got rid of. How are we doing? Is anyone feeling encouraged? Or any good outcomes or feeling God might have spoken to you? Not that you don't have to share. Do write it down though, if God's spoken to you. And also use it again if you know that three-step process. If something comes up or an issue comes up, it's quite a good way to process things. So, can anyone give a thumbs up if you're okay, if it was helpful, or a thumbs down if it wasn't? Does anyone need prayer? No, all okay. Well, I'll end with a prayer. Lord, I just pray for each one here. We just thank you, Lord, that you want to heal our hearts. You want us to know you more closely and have that real heart connection with you. Lord, I pray you keep us going on this journey of being able to deal with any issues that might come up from time to time, and show us the way through, that things will not get in the way of us really coming close to you and experiencing that wholehearted love from you, and help us to be wholehearted in our love for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Continue your healing.